you have one sheet on the back that is like this. Kind of look at that real quick, and it's something that really isn't in the lesson plan, but it's called on top of it, how to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. As far as showing someone scripture on how they're a sinner, though, you have those verses there and you can read them. Number two, there's a price on sin. That price is hell. And showing as far as the wages of sin is death. And then that death is not speaking of physical death, it's speaking of eternal death. That is shown by Revelation 20, 14 and 15. And you have that right there. Then Jesus paid that price. He was our substitute. A couple of verses there with John 3:16. They call John 3:16 the miniature Bible. They say if you could only have one verse of the Bible, if you had John 3:16, you could get saved. And then number four, Jesus will save you if you'll just put your trust in Him. And there's several verses there. Acts 16:30 to 31, the only place in the Bible where it says, "What must I do to be saved?" The Bible answer to that question is, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," period. That's the only place in the Bible that's ever asked. And as far as drawing it to a conclusion, then you can lead someone in a sinner's prayer as far as, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I'm sorry that I'm on my way to hell. And Jesus, I see that you're my only substitute." You see what I'm doing? I'm going right down the points there. I turn those 4 points into a prayer for them. "Lord, I see that I'm a sinner. I see that I'm on my way to hell. I see, dear Jesus, that you paid the price for me. And I now trust you to take me to heaven." All I did was go through the 4 points. And you can, and we're going to get into this a little bit, but as far as a help, and someone said, "Where do I start?" This can be a help, okay? If you get you a Soul Winner's New Testament, we sell them here for what we buy them for. They're 12 bucks. And you can take those verses there, mark them in the back. And then at the bottom, starting with Psalm 32, 1 and 2, all the way down, those are verses on eternal security, on how you can't lose it. Works cannot save. You have some verses right there from Romans 3:28 to Ephesians 2:8 and 9. The major thing you're going to run into when you go soul winning, the major thing you're going to run into is they think they have to earn it. Or they think it's Jesus plus something else. That you have to somehow... They say soul winning is guiding spiritual truths around people's roadblocks to get to the heart so that they can understand it. How do you do that? How do you steer up, over, digging around kitty corner and then through? Bingo, got him. You do that with Scripture. You do that with Scripture. The 1 Timothy 3:16 right there is a verse for, I put it on there for Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. But it says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up in the glory. God says it's a mystery. You can't understand the Trinity. Nobody does. Nobody ever has. Okay? So I put that verse on there as far as, well, how can you conceive that? I just throw that in there because Jehovah's Witnesses are everywhere. Okay? On my, and then after I lead someone to Christ with this sheet, I give this to them. Here, this is the sheet I led them to the Lord with, and they can go look up those verses in their Bible. Okay? It's real easy to carry with you. And at any rate, that is that, and I wanted that to be a help, and we weren't really going to cover that in the lesson. Let's go ahead and we'll pray and then we'll get started. Okay? It's good to have everybody. I mean that. And I know people trickle in as we keep on going. Miss Rose, you're keeping attendance, aren't you? God bless you. And all right, let's get started. Father, thank you for today. And Lord, I realize if there was a lesson to be fought spiritually, I realize that this would probably be that lesson. If the devil could stifle us from getting other people saved, that would break your heart the most. Please, I yield myself to you. I ask that you control me, control my mind, control my mouth. Please. And I pray that you'd use me, touch our hearts. Lord, stir my heart. Please. Help us to do what you saved us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You have the lesson there. So winning the why behind the what. Okay? Look at... God created you for a purpose. And you have Isaiah 43:7 there. Even everyone, God says, that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God says, the saved, those that are called by my name, I formed you and I created you for one reason, for my glory. Now I hear floaty songs in churches and things like that. Glorify. Glorify, glorify. Okay, and everybody's talking about, you need to bring glory to the Lord. You need to glorify God, and I'm for that. God says that you were created and formed to glorify God. Now, that word glory, I looked it up in a dictionary, and this is what I found. It means to abound with God's splendor. It means to make God glorious. It means to make God honorable. It means to promote God. God says, that's why I made you. That's why I made you. I made you to glorify me and bring glory to me. Okay? God says, I made you to promote me in, and we're just about ready to see here, if I could find out how to glorify the Lord, then I would find out why I was created. Because that's what God says. I was formed and created to glorify God. So all I have to do is answer the question, okay, how do you glorify Him? Does coming to church glorify God? Does reading your Bible glorify God? Does prayer glorify God? What is it that I was created to do? And that's what society has redefined. They want to re-answer questions. Why are you here? Where do you come from? And where are you headed? God says, I'm going to tell you exactly why I created you, exactly why I made you. Watch this. Look at number two there. God is glorified when you bear fruit. John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Wow. Jesus told me all I have to do to glorify God is bear fruit, not just fruit, but much fruit. I need to bear fruit, and that's why I was created. That's why I was formed. Wow. So it wasn't to make money. Oh, I need money to live, but that wasn't why I was created. So it wasn't to make me happy, although I have done some things that made me happy. Okay? I was created and formed to bring glory to God. How do you do that? You bear fruit. Not just fruit, much fruit. Look at here. Look in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So everything I do is supposed to be focused on one thing, bringing glory to God. That's why I was created. That's why I was formed. Let's look here at another thing. Now, the fruit of a Christian is a Christian who is going soul winning. Proverbs 11:30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, think about this just for a second. It says the fruit of you, the righteous, is a not just another fruit. It's a tree. You pick apples from apple trees. It says the fruit of the righteous is another tree. He that winneth souls is wise. What is that tree? The fruit of a righteous person, of a saved person, is a tree of life, something that is bearing other fruit. Best way I can tell it to you is fruit that you're supposed to bear and I'm supposed to bear is another Christian that's going soul winning. Another Christian. Not, watch this. Not just someone that's saved, but another Christian that's going soul winning. That's the fruit. Now, I was raised in a church where people said as far as, and watch this. This thing that we're hitting right now, they say it's probably the fastest way to hurt a church. It's probably, they say, out of the rest, there's some lessons I have later on that people would call hard. They say that this angers more people, soul winning does. Because you have to die to self. Everybody is, it's the one thing, watch this, on Tuesdays, I get a headache, okay? And I don't get a little headache. I get one where I take two Excedrin, okay? All right? And it happens, and when I get headaches, it's on Tuesdays. And it's, I'm just letting you know, and I realize what's going on. I am trying to be stopped. The devil is out to stop me from going soul winning. Okay? And if I get any opposition, I get more opposition on this one thing right here than I do anything else. I get headaches so bad, I could use it as an excuse to stay home if I wanted to. But I realize what's going on. And I told my wife that. My wife said, every Tuesday night, my wife will say, have you got one? And sometimes I don't. But when I do, it's Tuesdays. It's Tuesdays. What's happening? The devil's trying to keep me from this. Trying to keep me from this. I get a lot of spiritual opposition. I was raised in a church where people said, your fruit, they would explain it away. And they'd say, your fruit, as a Christian, and what God is looking for on you is love and joy and peace. And if you'll just be happy and be joyful and peaceful and temperate and kind and good, that is the fruit God is looking as a Christian. And it is a way to try to explain. But I'm going to show you something. Look at the verse. It says right here, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me read it again. The fruit of the Spirit. So whose fruit is it that this is talking about? This is the Holy Spirit's fruit. As I yield to the Holy Spirit, He gives me love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It's not my fruit. I got news for you. I'm not that loving. I'm not that kind. I'm a high, stressed-out individual. I'm not that peaceful. Okay? As I yield to the Holy Spirit, He bears fruit in me that is love and joy. It's Him. Anything good in you is Jesus. It ain't you. Okay? All right? And as I yield to God, He gives me what I need to, here we go, for me to bear fruit. I yield to the Holy Spirit. He works through me, gives me that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Okay? And then that enables me to bear fruit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree. The fruit of the Spirit is this right here. Don't let somebody say, all you need is to be kind. That's all you need to do. Just love. 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 Okay? I don't hold the mic prayerfully. Love. Okay? Okay? Don't let somebody snowball you into doing that. Make sure they get a lesson. Make sure they get a lesson. So here we go. Number five, God saved you for a purpose. All right? So I found out that that fruit, let me just review here. God created me and formed me to glorify Him. I glorify God by bearing fruit. That fruit, okay, is another Christian that's going soul winning. That's supposed to be the fruit. When we look at the Bible, that's the only fruit there is. Okay? If it's talking about my fruit that I'm supposed to bear, it is another Christian going soul winning. Now, that's important because we're going to look at this here in just a second. Watch this. It says John 20, 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So if I could find out why Jesus was sent to this earth, then I would find out why I'm sent. Now, that's important. Okay? Because Jesus did a lot of things. He healed the sick. He had a new system He was putting into place. Okay? He was taking the old wine bags out and putting new wine bags in. Okay? He was doing a lot of things when He was here. But what was He sent to do? If I can answer that question, then I'll find out what I was sent to do. Look at the next verse there. Jesus was sent to seek and to save that which was lost, and we're sent to do the same. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Wow. That's it. I was not just sent to save the lost. I was sent to seek them. In other words, it's not supposed to be we go out to the front door on Sunday morning, open them up and say, y'all come. Then hope they drive up. We were sent, the same reason Jesus was sent, to seek and to save that which is lost. Now that I don't know how plain that can get in the Bible. Praise God. I don't need a commentary for that. Okay? I don't need to go look up the Greek. Okay? Okay? That's just as plain as it comes. I was sent to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, I do a lot of things. But my purpose in life is soul winning. Christian, your purpose and the reason God made you was soul winning. I can't get any more plain than that. I can't find anything else in the Bible. If somebody could say, there's some other scripture you missed, I'd gladly look at it, but I can't find it. Okay? Now, I'll tell you what this does. This is a reset button, and it makes life really simple. Okay? All right? Let's keep on going here. Watch this. God says we're to be a peculiar people. Okay? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, God says this, that He chose us to be a peculiar people. And that doesn't mean weird. The word peculiar, okay, the reason we're peculiar, that word peculiar means channeled and directed and focused, like you would fire a bullet out of a gun. And it's going to go in the direction that the rifle's pointed. God says, you know what makes you peculiar? Is your direction in life. When you say, I don't do this, do you know what you're saying? I'm not going the same direction you are. And that is what looks weird to people. Okay, watch this. You're not going to listen to my joke? Do you know what you just did? You just said, I'm not going that direction. I'm going this way. And my life isn't headed the same way yours is. Okay, how about this? Let me just talk to you about hairstyle for a second. Why do I wear my hair the way I do? Because of the direction my life is headed. Okay, how come I don't have it spiked and three-colored? How come I don't? Because the direction I'm headed. That's why. Is there anything in the Bible says, thou shalt not porcupine it and try diet? Okay. All right. Is there anything in the Bible that says you can't do that? No, there's not. It doesn't say, thou shalt not porcupine it and try diet. But what that does is it associates me with a people that are going, everybody else that is doing that, and it shows the direction of my life. God says, you know what makes you look strange to people is the direction of your life. From your dress, to your talk, to your entertainment, to your priorities, to your free time. I can go on and on. But God says, when I saved you, do you know what makes you look strange? The direction of your life. I gave you a direction. I created you and I formed you for my glory. I sent you to seek and to save that which is lost. For the first time in my life, when I got saved, I got a direction and a purpose and a focal point for my life. Wow! And all of a sudden, the world wasn't from here to here. The world was here. And I got a focal point. And I got a purpose for living. I got something. Wow, I got something to focus on. Now I don't have to be a master, a jack of all trades and a master of none. I can actually focus my attention and my life on one direction. And God says, that's what makes you peculiar. That's what makes you look different to everybody. Okay, let's keep on going here. You found the purpose for which God created you. Okay, now I'm going to read you some verses that are not very comforting. Okay, let me review with you real quick. What is fruit? Fruit, for me, is another Christian that's going soul winning. The fruit of the righteous is a tree. Everybody got that? Now we got to have that for this definition here. Watch this. Here we go. Luke 13:6-9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Those aren't real comforting verses, and I'm just going to go ahead and apply the parable Jesus is teaching you, and he says, your heavenly Father comes seeking fruit on you. And he's not looking for love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, all that. Against such there is no law. He's coming, looking at you, and says, I'm hungry. Give me some fruit. I've been looking for fruit on you for 3 years. Give me some fruit. What is the fruit? It's another Christian that is going soul winning. It is another Christian because of you, because of your mouth. Okay? Your fruit. Now, this isn't something, I'll say it again, this isn't real comforting scripture. God says, if you're not going to bear fruit, then I'll cut you down. Jesus pleads on my behalf and says, Father, give him a little more time. Give him a little more time. Let me work with him a little bit more. Let me work with him. And if he bears fruit, well, but Lord, give me... Jesus is pleading for me. Father, give him more time. He just needs a little more time. Let me dung him, put manure around him and fertilize him and give him some more nutrients. Let me work in his life. Why? Because God says, I'm coming to each individual Christian... And I want one thing. I want fruit. What did Jesus do when he was on his way to Jerusalem? He saw the fig tree. Didn't find any. It says he cursed it and it withered like that. And the disciples said, whoa. He said, I'm hungry. If you're not going to do what I created you to do, then move aside and put somebody else in that place that will do what I saved it and created it to do. Interesting verse as far as, you know what they say the average lifespan of a church member is? 7 years. Here, Jesus uses the number 3 years and then a year after that. Do you know the why behind the what is soul winning? Do you realize for you to come to an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist, soul-winning church and not go soul winning? You cannot continue hearing that type of preaching and not do anything. You're either going to change or leave. And it's not because anybody wants you to leave, and it's not because, watch this, there's some people in our church that still haven't gone soul winning. Our church is 7 years old. Okay, 7 and a half. There's some people in our church, watch this, they're always welcome. Did you know there's some people in our church that aren't even saved? They've told me they're not. I've approached them in an invitation before. They still believe you have to work your way to heaven. I'm good enough. I said, so-and-so, that's not. He said, I'm doing fine. You don't have to talk to me about this. I'm living right enough. After all the preaching, you know why they come here? Because they know there's a preacher here that loves them. So you can come here and not go soul winning. But to hear that preaching and that blasting time and time again and still say, I'm not doing anything. God has a way of moving them and putting someone else in their place who will do something. Does that make sense? Okay, and watch this. Here we go. This is not comforting scripture. Okay, this, if anything, this lets me know I better go soul winning, or I can be a statistic like anybody else. And I know preachers. We got teenagers in our church that lead more people to Christ than any independent fundamental Baptist preacher in town. We have laymen in our church that could out-preach. Okay? We have women in our church that could out-preach. Okay? Practically any minister in town. And I'm just letting you know from the Bible that they hear around here. Okay? As far as, and it's God telling me, you either do your job or I'll move you and I'll put you somewhere. I got all different types of piles of things that aren't doing anything. And I can dig you up. I'll go put you somewhere and I'll put something in your place that will do what I saved it to do. Okay? Here we go. Let's keep on going here. All right? Look at John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. There's only one definition for fruit. A Christian that does not bear fruit, God takes away. Listen, judgment's supposed to be a motivator, okay? Judgment is supposed to be, yes, if you win souls, there's a crown waiting for you in heaven. There's blessings. Can you imagine meeting the Heavenly Father saying, here's the ones I won. And man, and how about this? How about introducing those you win to the one that led you to Christ? Man, I picture, you know, there's some people I haven't seen since I led them to the Lord. And you don't know what happens. There's some people that promised me they were going to pray when they got home after they got a track. And I've often wondered if we're standing in heaven and, you know, we're waiting to see Jesus. And I've often pictured getting tackled from behind. Wah-pow! Oh, man, what? Hey, are you Greg Nash? Man, I've been looking all over heaven for you. You led me to the Lord one day. Look at everybody else I led. Man, I want you to meet them. And this is great. And man, wow. Well, how about the people you lead to the Lord, introducing them to the one that led you to Christ? And then we all get to meet Jesus together. Hey, that's neat. That's neat. God says, him that beareth not fruit, okay? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Statistics. How come people end up going from church to church to church to church? Because they know what a good church is. But to do, okay, to do as a Christian requires death to self on the inside. Death to self in here. I'm going to have to rearrange a little. Watch this. Why do you realize to come to church, you're saying, I want my priorities rearranged to match this? Well, when has God done with you? When has God done with you? What area will you allow God to change you in? Your thinking. You know what made the Pharisees so mad? Jesus attacked their thinking. He said, your thinking's all wrong. Killing. That's all he did. He never touched them. He never hit them. All he did was saying, you know what, you Pharisees? Your priority's all wrong. He said, you're all wrong. And he stirred up a hornet's nest. And they killed him for it. So winning. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Wow. So if I could just get you to start going soul winning and say, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to try this. Then guess what takes place? God starts purging you. That's why unless a Christian is going soul winning, watch this. You can warm a pew. You can come here. Watch this and be super loved and super welcome. Nobody's going to look at you and you. Where were you Tuesday night? Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. As far as God says, if you'll just start, He starts purging you. Watch. That's why this is so important, and I stand behind this. Soul winning is what changed my life. All I did was I started realizing how important it was, and I started making myself go, and God started working in my heart. Watch this. Soul winning will do for your Christianity what all the preaching in the world won't. If you come to this church and you don't go, there's some things God won't change in your life. The preacher can get up and rah, yeah, God, screaming blue in the face, and it ain't going to work. Do you know why? Because soul winning is God's way of growing you. That's what it says. If you'll start to bear fruit, then God says, if you'll just go soul winning, then God starts to work in here. He starts touching your heart about things that the preacher didn't even mention. But guess who did? The second preacher, the Holy Spirit. While the first preacher was preaching, the Holy Spirit was dinging your bell. Dinging my bell. Okay. On my knees. Why? Because I'm going soul winning. If you'll just... That's why soul winning is the why behind the what. That's why... Listen, you know, everything starts making sense when you just start putting a little effort to go. It's like, wow, I see. Wow. Things are starting to make sense. But if you're not going soul winning... We're the strangest bunch of birds you ever saw. Greatest thing you know is about the handshaking time during church service. You know, that's a great time. I enjoy it. Wouldn't trade it. I love what one guy said. Wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. Okay? We're a friendly church. We're a happy church. But until you start going soul winning, nothing makes sense. It is the why behind the what. Let's keep on going here. Okay? And you have those verses there. And we already had John 15:8. Look at here. God commands us to be soul winners. Jesus said He's with you when you go. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, if you'll teach, baptize, and teach, make that. It's not the piddling commission. It's not the small commission. It's the great commission. It was the last words out of Jesus' mouth before He left. He said, you do that, and I'm with you always. Watch this. He's with us all the time. There's no place He's not. But, He says, I'll make My presence known to you when you go. I'm willing to make Myself known to you in a very special way when you go. Watch this. When you get somebody saved, it's great. The joy's there. But watch this. He says, I'm just talking about My presence with you when you leave. And it doesn't have to be Tuesday night. We say Tuesday night so we can all encourage each other. That's what church is about. We encourage each other. We're all trying to make it. We're all fighting against a world that's opposing us. Okay? We're here for encouragement. But watch this. If you can't go Tuesday night and you pick a night, I wish you could have seen some of us when we first went. I really do. I wish you could have seen me when I first went soul winning. I bawled the whole night before I read Dr. Hiles' book on Let's Go Soul Winning, realized I wasn't a soul winner, and cried all night long, begging God for His power and for the filling of the Holy Spirit, knowing I couldn't do it myself. Got up the next morning at 4 o'clock, and I was shooting at a rifle range and in a rifle tournament, and got up and went to the chow hall. And in the middle, the chow hall was square-shaped, and I was sitting over here. In the middle was an island of a milk machine and juice and water and all this other stuff. Underneath the juice machine, you could see about that high. I could see all the way across the chow hall, and I could see two other Marines sitting over there in a booth. I had two tracks with me. I had prayed all night and asked God for His power and the Holy Spirit, and I was scared to death. I did this. I grabbed the tracks, and I said, "Lord, please." Listen, my favorite person to be with is me all by myself. You understand? Okay? All right? If somebody said you can be in a group or be by yourself, I choose me. Okay? I make my favorite company. Okay? And I think a lot of people are that way. Okay? But watch. I took the two tracks, and I went over to the milk machine, and I was trying to sneak around it, and I lost my nerve. I went back to my booth. Lord, I can't do this. I wish you could have seen me. And then I went back before, and I was and I started again, and they got up to get some juice, and I went back over and sat down, you know, like this, and I was waiting until they were done, and Lord, I got it. There's only three people in the dining hall, okay? They're all the way across. The third time, finally, I mean, you know, bullets and, you know, lids dropping on the floor, you know, and everything, and I go back over there, and I made it to the milk machine, peer around there. Okay, and I went for it, and I got it. Here, guys, just want to give you this. Make sure you're sure. I don't know if sure you're on your way to heaven. God bless you. Oh my goodness! Went back and sat down. Listen, you think it comes natural for everybody? It doesn't. Watch this. I still sweat when I go. You think for pastor or somebody else, you think, man, what a soul winner and all this. I wish you could have seen the first time. You know what you do? I still haven't seen anybody. I've seen one guy almost as nervous as I was. And I never make anybody talk. Okay? But it's, watch this, it's still hard. Do you understand? It doesn't come, it just flows. It's just natural. It's not natural for anybody. It's unnatural. They're never come. Listen, you're going to fight this thing till you die. Let's keep on going here. Watch this. So he says, I'm willing to make it my presence known to you. Jesus said to tell your friends of his salvation to you. I love this verse, Matthew 5:19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but watch this, saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I find so much of this thing called soul winning links on you enjoying being saved. You know, as far as, okay, I got all this that I have to do in the Christian life, and I got to do this, fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Him and let everything take care of itself. Go home and tell Him how good He's been to you. Okay? And as far as the mechanical, I got to do this, go back to the point and just say, listen, push it all aside, and what does Jesus mean to you? Now go tell your friends. Just go tell your friends. And go tell him how he's had compassion on you, where he's brought you from, how good he's been to you. Let's keep on going here. You've been commanded to tell every person, Mark 16:15, he said to them, go ye into all the world, go ye, and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. You're never supposed to wait and put it off. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Jesus said, don't put it off. He said, they're dying on the vine. Don't say, well, we're going to get around to it. I know. I'm going to learn more Bible, then I'm going to go. He said, they're dying. They're white already to harvest. They're rotting on the stem, and they're falling to the ground. Go. Go. Jesus saved you and ordained you or empowered you to do what He commanded you to do. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, interesting verse, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I just can't do that. That's for other people. Jesus said, I chose you and I ordained you or placed you with power to go bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You really can someday get somebody in church that's winning souls. You really can. That's my promise. That's Jesus saying, I want to use you in that way, and that's for every Christian in this room. Watch this. Here we go. It's a shame to us that more people in our neighborhoods aren't saved. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says this, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. And then watch this. I speak this to your shame. That word shame is a powerful word. Your vileness. Your disgrace. In the neighborhoods we've lived in, we've always tried to, as far as saying, I don't know whether anybody's gone soul winning on my street or not. I want to know one thing. Have I? Because God says, I speak this to your shame. It's vile that a Christian would know how to get saved, know how to go to heaven. And he said that those around you don't know? That's disgraceful. It's vile. Strong words, okay? This thing is soul winnings all through the Bible. Let's keep on going here. Paul said he was a debtor because he knew how to go to heaven. Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. God says you're supposed to tell others about the gift you received. Watch this, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man, does it say as every preacher? It says as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God says, for his unspeakable gift, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What, Jesus? If you've received that gift, and God says you go minister the same, freely have you received, freely give it. That's what Jesus said. Let's keep on going here. We're running out of time as usual, okay? Watch this. God will hold us responsible for witnessing to every person. I'm not going to read both of these. I'm going to read one, and you can look at the other. But look at the top one, Ezekiel 3:17-19. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. God says, every person that you can witness to, God says, as far as to speak to warn them, he said, if you don't speak, not live it in front of them. Listen, nobody lives the gospel. Nobody beams Jesus so bright that somebody just comes up and says, I saw you living and I got saved because of it. Okay? I ain't that good. You ain't... Watch it. Okay, what's it take to get somebody saved? The death, burial, and resurrection. Right? Okay? Are you living the death, the burial, and the resurrection? Nobody can do that. It is a scapegoat. It is code name for cop-out. Okay? You understand? Just beam Jesus. I'm for beaming Jesus. Beam. Okay? Beaming. Okay? Beaming. But that doesn't get people saved. I'm for living like Jesus. He's your number one example. He's your number one goal to be like Christ. When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? That ought to be your song as you sing it through the week. I want others to see Jesus in me. I want to show Jesus, but they're not getting saved because of me. And I don't live that good. And I still have yet to make... I've had one person in my lifetime come up to me and say, you're different, aren't you? You have something I don't... What is so different about you? And I got to lead that guy to Christ. One. I've been saved 15 years. Now, maybe if you're better and you got people, bully for you, okay? If you got 10 that have come up to you, I'm just letting you know, nobody's that good. Nobody's that good. You're supposed to speak it, or God says their blood, one day before they're cast into hell, is going to be dripping from your hands. And I could have told them, and I didn't. And I didn't. Let's keep on going here. Soul winning is you confronting people one-on-one. It is not living a good life in front of them. We just covered that as far as the Bible speaks much of confronting people, not beaming for Jesus to get others saved. I got 1 minute left, okay? And I put some verses in there, and I haven't got time. I want you to skip to one thing. Do you see where it says it takes four things for a person to get saved? Do you see that? I think it's on the last page. Okay, I want to show you this. It takes four things for a person to get saved. Are you ready? The first thing it takes is it takes faith. Nobody gets saved without faith. Faith in Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 12, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The last part of that verse, God is the one that gives that faith. It takes something else for somebody to get saved. It takes grace. You have that. And in all those verses listed there, God is the one that gives the grace or the desire to get saved. It takes faith and grace. God gives both. You didn't develop them or generate them or stir them up. God gave both. Watch this. It takes one more thing to get saved. It takes a couple more things here. Number three, it takes the blood. No one gets saved without blood. Blood is what makes an atonement or a payment for the soul. faith, grace, and blood, and God provided all three. There's only one other thing that takes for somebody to get saved, and there's one reason why somebody won't get saved, and that's the last one. It takes a soul winner. God will never be able to look. Nobody will ever be able to look at God and say, God, I'd have gotten saved. I just didn't have enough faith. God says, I gave you all the faith you needed. You just chose to put it in something else. Well, God, it is your grace. God says, I gave you grace. The blood almost cleansed all of the sins. And God says, my blood cleanses all sin. And God says, I shed my blood. It's totally sufficient. Well, why didn't I get saved? You provided everything that I needed to get saved. Why didn't I get saved then? And God says, I did my part. He didn't do his. And I hope that someone couldn't point a finger at me. But can I tell you something? I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm not a perfect Christian. I don't know one. You say, what is it that drives you as far as telling others about the Lord? There's going to come a day when hopefully someone won't be able to point their finger at you and say, you mean I'm going to hell because of you? You live next to me and you never told me? You never even took time? I don't listen to you. I wasn't a God hater. Didn't I help you in your yard one time? Didn't I help you when it was... Why didn't you... How long did it take? 5 minutes? I don't listen to you for that. Why didn't you tell me? It takes four things to get saved. God provided the first three. The last one is you and I. The only reason somebody will go to hell is because we didn't do our job. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I pray that please you'd stir our hearts. I pray that you would help me to be a better soul winner. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to care. Help me to not be so selfish. Help me to not be so self-centered. Help me to care. Please. Bless the service to follow. Be with our preacher as he preaches to us tonight. Touch our hearts and grow us and strengthen us for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.